truth liberates. You know, when you think through the various ignorances of, oh, I don't know, let's just pick on science. You know, it wasn't that long ago where we would be bleeding our presidents almost to death, where we would bleed important people because we thought we should bleed them because that's how you make them feel better. But, you know, if they would read the Bible way back in Leviticus, it says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. So if the life of the flesh is in the blood, you take away the blood, you're taking away the life. But again, error enslaves, truth liberates. Think about it this way. As we were just celebrating the birth of our nation, but, you know, go way back to 1492, when Columbus sailed the ocean blue, what was the basic consensus about how the globe looked? It was flat, wasn't it? In fact, that's one of the reasons he ended up sailing for the country he did, because everyone else didn't want to support him because he was going to sail off the face or the edge of the earth into oblivion or something. But truth truly does liberate. It liberates. It liberates you and I, while ignorance, on the other hand, enslaves. For example, you and I, as we were even talking about our conflict resolution on Sunday morning, we can continue to handle the conflicts the way we have in the past, for better or for worse, and that will just continue on until the day we die. Or we could get some truth that can help liberate in the way we handle conflicts. Or, for example, another one, anger. You know, as you get around just different people than I normally do, I hear all kinds of different things. And even like the guy in the airplane, they have just different beliefs, different value systems, etc. But there are some who believe that people are born certain ways and there's literally nothing you can do about it. And we'll just use, like, for example, anger. If one believes that anger, you're born with it, it's part of your genetic makeup, your code, and there's nothing you can do about it, you're kind of stuck, aren't you? But if we could believe that the Bible teaches us that emotions can and must be controlled, because the Bible says, put off all anger and malice and envy, and so the Bible tells us that we are to embrace certain emotions and then let go certain emotions, well, that just brings about freedom. And it's not only to our lives, but also to, I mean, how much more pleasant would it be if I quit being an angry person? Everybody else around me would benefit. But it's really sad. It really is sad. And I know I'm talking and I'm preaching to the choir here. But again, you and I, we've got to realize that we need to continue to dig deep into the words of God and to find truth. And then once we find truth, we need to work on applying it to our lives. To our lives. Let me show you some of the characteristics here in John 8. In John 8, and I'm going to have to read just a few verses here to help get the context. Jesus is sitting down in a temple, and he's beginning to teach the Jews in John 8. The religious leaders bring a woman caught in adultery. Jesus tells the one who's without sin to cast the first stone, and then Jesus tells her to go away and to sin no more. And then the Pharisees begin attacking Jesus' claim to be God. And Jesus, again, perfectly defends his deity there in John chapter 8. And that kind of brings us then to like verse 30. And the anger level is now reaching a very crescendo point of religious leaders and climaxes, if you will, in verse 59, when in John chapter 8, verse 59, they try to kill him, literally. These who are the super religious, pious ones are willing to commit murder. Kind of ironic, isn't it? But what we're going to do is we're going to jump into verse 30. So that's kind of the context in which we find ourselves in. In verse 30, he says, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. And we have never been in bondage to anyone. We have never. And again, they're angry at God because of the one caught in adultery and his claims of deity. And they kind of, I would imagine, pointed their finger in his face and say, "Who are you? We have never been in bondage to anyone." By the way, who is ruling them at this time? Starts with the letter R. Let's see, verse 33, the bottom of it. "How can you say we will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free," and then depending upon your version, you see that there's two different cases there of the word son. One is small caps and one is large caps. Verse 36, "If the Son of God makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Verse 37, "I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the work of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and come from God, nor have I come of myself, but he who sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word, because you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resource, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is one of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not God." Let's just quickly look at some characteristics in believing. Belief requires, again, the three things. It requires knowledge, it requires agreement, and then there's a transfer of trust. Now, these who believed, and we can see it play out in our life, when they come to Jesus Christ, they need to believe a couple things. They need to believe that they have a need. There is an emptiness. There is a longing. There is a void. And that's one of the reasons why I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior way back before many of you were born. It was because back in 1978, when I was sitting in a Sunday night sermon there in Fourth Baptist Church, he talked about the rich young ruler, and the rich young ruler did all this stuff. And Christ says, "Yeah, but there's still one thing you lack." And back in the day, in my little world, Dan had it all, man. Money, cars, motorcycles, all kinds of spendable income, working two jobs. Life was pretty good in that regard, but there was still an emptiness or a void that just could not be filled. I had to believe there was a need. Then I had to believe that there was a hunger, a thirst, a desire for something different. Some of you older ones remember that hymn, "Satisfied." You know, "feeding on the husks around me till my strength was almost gone, only to hunger on." There was nothing there. And then the chorus says, "Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing, and by his grace I can be made whole." But there is a hunger. There's a darkness. The darkness. And maybe darkness isn't quite the right word, but there's just a negativity that just permeates one's life. Because really, life is going down the toilet. And as Pastor Jesse mentioned, there's sometimes that We don't have our own resources. There's not the power within us to do anything about it. And life is just, there's so many variables that are known. And there's so many variables that are unknown that it is just exhausting to try to control it and to manipulate it all to the way we want it to go. And life is just bleak. And that's why so many people do this self-medicating and on it goes and ultimately ends up taking their lives. Because there's just that darkness, there's just that continuing encroaching darkness that they just can't get rid of. And then there's guilt. Oh my goodness, we live in the worlds of shouldas, wouldas, and couldas. You know, if I only could go back and do it again. Oh man, I should have done this. I should have done that. And for some, it's really haunting. There are skeletons in our closet that do haunt us. And we wish. But it cannot be different. And then there's hope. There's hope. And then there's the desire. And what was going on here in John chapter 8 is as the gospel, the good news was being preached, they listened. They listened. And they allowed no distractions. They heard. They saw that this truly was salvation. This was their ticket out. You know, some people, again, they like playing the lottery. And one of the reasons they play the lottery is because this literally is going to be their little ticket to happiness. This is the ticket out of the life that I'm in. This is the ticket that's going to just make everything wonderful. Well, they may not have had the lottery back then, I don't know, but this was their ticket. This was their salvation. They had the knowledge of it. They had agreement, and they said, this is what I want. This is what they want. In our counseling ministry, I hear this on almost, well, let's say a twice a month basis. Now that summer's come, it kind of slacks off a little bit. But I hear the progression every time I get a phone call or an email. I hear a definite need. My child. Or my loved one is addicted. I am struggling. Oftentimes I hear the word, I don't want to live, or I don't want to live like this anymore. To think that I have to go through the rest of my life with this, no, I don't want to live like this anymore. There's a hunger. I don't want to continue not liking my kids. A little humor. You know what happens to parents who don't raise their kids right? They got to live with them. So I get the phone calls. I don't want to continue not liking my kids. I want to have a nice relationship with them. I want to enjoy going home. I don't want to just stay at work or go find things to do or go volunteer to keep my calendar busy so I don't have to come home. I don't want to always fight. And there's that darkness and guilt. You have to be in a pretty bad spot to call us. And I've heard the things, you know, I'm a bad parent, I'm a bad spouse, or adultery we've heard many times. I've broken my spouse's or kids' trust. But then there is that hope and the desire. Can you help me? Can you help our family? Can you help us get rid of this bad spot and start enjoying life? To which I say, yeah, come on. We got Mondays for you. You come and we'll show you the truth. Now, for you and I here today, you don't have to keep living in the spot you're in right now. Your life also can be different. The Bible is full of truth. And again, we're about out of time, and that's okay. We don't have to go through the outline. But you know, there's from A to W, I can't come up with a Z, but from anger to addictions, to anorexia, to any other A's, all the way to worry. There is truth in the Bible that will set you free. He says it there. As you look at that in John chapter 8, verse 32, if you know the truth and you accept that truth will liberate you. As it liberated the sailors, as it liberates us financially, and on it goes, if you know the truth, that will liberate you. Marriages, relationships, and the list just goes on and on and on. It's really exciting to be in a ministry, in a relationship with Jesus Christ, where we have the truth of God. We don't have to climb any mountains to find this sage of wisdom with a long white beard sitting on top of the hill. We don't have to do all this kind of ritualistic stuff that many people do on their ever-journeying quest for truth. We have it, and praise God we're in America. We have it in so many different versions and translations and configurations. How many of you got at least more than one Bible in your house? I think just about everybody's hands got up. We got Bibles all over the place. And if we don't have them, go up to some of the county fairs here this summer and they'll be giving you free Bibles. The truth, though, if we will but know the truth will liberate us. But let's look at just 31 and 32, and this I will close up. The second characteristic in this transforming power of truth is obedience. In verses 31 and 32, he says there in 31, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. The word abide, that basically means to obey, to continue in, to get on. And again, I did this a couple times in our various travelings. And my iPhone, it has a compass on one of the utilities. And every once in a while, as we're out driving around, I'm just kind of wondering, like, where are we going? Because I'm in the back seat, which was kind of fun. So you just click that, and you get your, you know, your GPS coordinates. For those of you who do geocaching, you know, you all know that. Well, it's kind of fun just to get your bearings and your coordinates. Well, we must do that with the Scripture. It's not just enough to have an intellectual knowledge of it, that we write down all the good notes and we put them in our Bibles, we close up our Bibles until next Sunday. But we must abide to it. We must live by the truth, to let the truth govern our lives, to let the truth govern our thinkings, to let the truth govern our attitudes and our reactions and our emotions. Because again, he's got the idea there that if you continue in it, and if you do it, look at verse 36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. There's this conditional aspect to it. And if we would just but study the Word of God and apply the Word of God to our lives would be different. It really would. They'd be richer. They'd be fuller. When we were in the Philippines, again, we saw all kinds of furniture makers on this one road. Just furniture maker after furniture maker, a lot of the red mahogany that's hard to import, all these gorgeous, there's no veneer on that stuff. It's solid wood. But many times our lives have a thin veneer, and it looks really Christian on the top side, but if you were to take some heat or some water and peel that thin veneer off, you got composite underneath. But, you know, if we would just continue to study the Scriptures and to obey the Scriptures, the veneer is gone and we're back to nothing but hard wood in our life. Knowledge and application equals freedom. Doesn't that sound a little bit of James? Faith without works is dead. We need to do the Word of God in a daily application of it. It's kind of sad. Some of the self-deception that they had, some of the contrary to obvious facts that these had. How can you say we're in bondage? We've never been in bondage. Self-denial. For you and I, don't go down that trail. Don't go down into self-denial, self-deception. We hear it all the time. Contrary to obvious facts. Oh, there's nothing wrong with our relationship. And the spouse is going, oh, yes, there is. In fact, here, let me show you the list that I just made out. I tell you, we've got the truth. Don't be like the unbelievers there as you can take the time to look at John 8 and look at the characteristics of the unbeliever. In conclusion, while we live in America and we enjoy the freedoms that America offers to us, our Bibles, your Bible offers to you probably, because since none of us are perfect, greater freedoms to you than you're presently enjoying. And I would really encourage you to not be in denial, not to be oblivious to the obvious conditions of your life, but that you would take this Bible and you would learn, and then most importantly, you would apply it to your life so that our lives can be freer by the time school starts, by the time the fall programs kick in, than they are right here today.